Derbyshire Clinical Commissioning Groups, Raising Awareness of the Mental Capacity Act and the Deprivation of Liberty Safeguards. Deprivation of Liberty. A deprivation of liberty under the Mental Capacity Act must be authorised. Although it may occur anywhere, there are three ways to authorise it, depending on the circumstances. A deprivation of liberty of a person being cared for in a placement in a supported living arrangement in the community must be authorised by the Court of Protection. A person may also be deprived of their liberty to provide emergency medical treatment while a decision is being obtained from the court. And the final way in which a deprivation of liberty may be authorised is under the Deprivation of Liberty Safeguards, known as DOLS. DOLS authorises or makes lawful the deprivation of liberty of a resident in a care home or a patient in hospital in order to provide appropriate care or to treat a physical or mental condition. For the rest of this podcast, we will explore the Deprivation of Liberty Safeguards. We start by asking, how is a deprivation of liberty different from a restriction of liberty? Section 5 of the Act, subject to the limits in Section 6, will provide legal protection from liability, except for negligence, for acts that involve restrictive interventions, if the following are met. Firstly, the person applying the intervention has taken reasonable steps to establish that the person lacks capacity to consent to the intervention and reasonably believes the person lacks capacity at the time it is applied, and that it is in the person's best interests. Secondly, the person applying the restrictive intervention reasonably believes that it is necessary in order to prevent harm to the person, not others. And thirdly, any use of force or threat of force to implement a restrictive intervention which the person resists or which restricts the person's liberty of movement, whether or not the person resists, is a proportionate response to the likelihood of the person suffering harm and the seriousness of that harm. Sections 5 and 6 do not permit anyone to deprive another person of their liberty. Whether or not an act amounts to a deprivation rather than a restriction of liberty depends on the circumstances of the individual case. If the restriction is frequent, cumulative and ongoing, or if other factors are present, it may become a deprivation of liberty. The distinction between a deprivation of liberty and restriction is one of nature and degree, rather than substance. How can you tell if a person is being deprived of their liberty? A deprivation of liberty can occur in any setting, but it is not easy to spot. You must take into account the circumstances of the person concerned, as well as the type, duration, and impact of the action in question, and how it is being carried out. There are three factors to look for when determining whether a deprivation of liberty is occurring, and all three must be present. Firstly, the person must be under continuous supervision and control. This is likely to be met if staff have complete control over a person's care or movements for a long period of time, make all decisions about a person, including choices about assessments, treatment and visitors, and control where they can go and when. Some care home residents and hospital patients meet this threshold. Secondly, the person must not be free to leave. It does not matter if the person has never expressed a desire to leave the care home or hospital. What is important is how staff would react if he tried to leave, or if relatives or friends asked to remove him. If the person would be stopped, then he is not free to leave. Finally, the person must lack capacity to consent to being in the care home or hospital. Remember, capacity is decision and time specific. It is not relevant whether the person complies with arrangements made for his care or treatment. Some adults who lack capacity may be unable to object. If objection was a prerequisite for deciding that a deprivation of liberty has occurred, it could result in people who lack capacity having less protection than those who do not. Nor does it matter whether or not the person is aware his liberty is being deprived. Focus on the person's actual situation, not on the relative normality or otherwise of his position. The reason for the placement is also not relevant. The fact that it is for a benign purpose does not alter whether or not it is a deprivation of liberty. How is a deprivation of liberty authorised under DOLS? Derby City Council and Derbyshire County Council are supervisory bodies under the DOLS scheme. Each will commission 6 professional assessments if it intends to pursue a hospital or care home application for authorisation of a deprivation of liberty. A deprivation of liberty may only be authorised under DOLS in a hospital or care home setting when the person meets these 6 qualifying requirements. Number 1. He must be 18 years or older. Court authorisation of a deprivation of liberty in a supported living setting in the community has a lower age threshold of 16 years or older. Number 2. He must suffer from a mental disorder as defined by the Mental Health Act, disregarding any exclusions of people with learning disabilities. It does not include dependence upon alcohol or drugs. Number 3. He must lack capacity to decide whether or not he should be in the hospital or care home to be given the treatment or care he needs. Number 4. The detention must be in his best interests, necessary to prevent harm, and in proportion to the likelihood and seriousness of this harm. Number 5. The person is ineligible to be deprived of his liberty under the DOLS scheme if he is a detained patient under the Mental Health Act, on leave of absence, or subject to a community treatment order or guardianship. It also applies to those who can be detained under the Mental Health Act, provided the purpose is to authorise hospital treatment for a mental disorder to which he objects, or there is reason to believe he would object if able to. And 6. There is no valid and conflicting refusal of some or all of the relevant care or treatment, either by an advance decision which he has made, an attorney under a lasting power of attorney, or a court-appointed deputy. The DOLS scheme should not be used for an actively objecting patient who could be sectioned under the Mental Health Act. What does the DOLS scheme authorise? The DOLS scheme authorises detention for all kinds of purposes, but only in circumstances that can be defined as a deprivation of liberty. It does not cover all decisions about the care or treatment that the person will receive. General care or treatment must be given in accordance with the person's consent, if he has capacity to consent, or in his best interests under the Mental Capacity Act, if he does not. A deprivation of liberty authorization may last for no longer than 12 months. The duration will be recommended by the best interests assessor, who decides whether a deprivation of liberty is occurring or will occur, and whether this is or would be in the person's best interests. What protections are in place? The key safeguards afforded to people deprived of their liberty under the Mental Capacity Act are the right to a relevant person's representative and an independent mental capacity advocate, the right to challenge a deprivation of liberty. A relevant person's representative provides support to the person and is typically a relative or a friend who knows him well. In turn, they and the person are entitled to support from an independent mental capacity advocate in all matters relating to the authorisation, unless the relevant person's representative is paid. A paid relevant person's representative is appointed when there is nobody available to act on the person's behalf. It is important that the care home manager monitors a deprivation of liberty authorisation. If the person's circumstances change, the authorisation may need to be reviewed. What should you do if you suspect an unauthorised deprivation of liberty? Although you are not responsible for deciding whether a deprivation of liberty is occurring or applying for its authorisation, you may sometimes visit people in care homes who are under a deprivation of liberty authorisation, or whom you believe are being deprived of their liberty without authorisation. You may also visit people being cared for in a placement in a supported living arrangement in the community, whose deprivation of liberty has been authorized by the Court of Protection. If the arrangements for a person's care in a care home, hospital, or supported living arrangement in the community amount to a deprivation of liberty, and it has not been authorized, it is unlawful and a breach of the person's human rights. If you suspect this, speak with the manager of that setting and with your clinical commissioning group about your concerns as quickly as possible. The final point to be aware of is that the coroner must be notified if a person dies in a care home while subject to a deprivation of liberty authorization. This is because the person is taken to have been under detention at the time of death. You are expected to notify the coroner of this immediately.